Stay tuned for The Lynn Show. Today, I'm airing an interview with violinist Carol Lieberman. When Carol was 3, her grandfather gave her brother a violin, and Carol fell in love. She desperately wanted to take violin lessons, but she needed a quarter violin, and her parents couldn't afford it. So she had to wait, desperate the entire time, until she was 6, and she could play a half violin. This love of the instrument dictated most of the choices that she made in her life. Listen to this unassuming, soft-spoken, gentle woman talk about a life completely dedicated to a particular instrument, the performance on that instrument, and the music that that instrument can make. Hang on. Here come the show.
Hearing from an inner voice, finding choice where there's no choice, with gentle prodding from the voice. Oh, you really can.
Is about being the person you really are. Not the person other people are. Not the person you think you have to be. Not the person you were told you needed to be or even that you were. Not even the person you may currently think you are. But the person you really are. Unfortunately, many children experience criticism about the way they look or talk or think or something they're drawn to. And this criticism is so shocking that many children learn to pretend that they simply aren't that thing. And they get so good at it that they come into adulthood having forgotten who they really are. In my show, I interview people who make their living or their life with an art. Because when you listen to them, you can hear what it sounds like to be who you really are. Carol Lieberman knew at the age of 3 that the violin was something she had to have. And the music that it played was something she had to do. And listening to Carol, you are in no doubt but that and violinist are the descriptions that best fit Carol. And so, of course, this is who she really is. Here now is a violinist, Carol Lieberman. Okay, I'm here with violinist Carol Lieberman, and I'm explaining to Carol that I interview people who make their living or their life with an art. And so it seems clear that the art to which you have given your life and are making your living is violin. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, good. Okay, good. So I only ask one question, and it is, do you remember, can you tell me, the very first time in your life when music and or violin captured you, drew you, called you?
I was three.
You were three. Okay, tell me.
My brother's 5 years older, mm-hmm. and he was given a violin by our grandfather, and he began taking lessons. So he was eight, and I was three. So at three, I wanted to play the violin.
Yeah. Is it because he was playing it, or because of the instrument itself, or the sound, or what? Do you know?
I think it was both.
Yeah.
But as soon as I heard the violin, that was the instrument that I wanted to play.
Yes. Did you say, me too?
Absolutely. But I needed to have a quarter size instrument. Family could not afford a quarter size instrument at that time. So I had to wait until I was six when I could get a half size. And I didn't start until I was six.
But in that time, you were waiting mm-hmm. for it.
Yeah.
All this time he's playing.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And you're yearning. Is that right?
I mean, yes.
Yes, right.
Absolutely.
It's an interesting image of a 3, 4, 5-year-old mm-hmm. child waiting for her violin, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so you're six and they give you a half-size violin mm-hmm. and then you start to take lessons? Is that what happens?
Or? Yes.
Yes?
There was a teacher that came to our house.
Is this the one who taught your brother?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Same teacher, and that lasted for a year, and then I got a full scholarship to the Manhattan School of Music.
At seven?
At seven, yeah.
So are you saying that you became so skilled between six and seven that you got a scholarship to the Manhattan School of Music?
Yes, well, they have a pre-college division. I wasn't going to college.
I didn't imagine that you were, but I'm still quite stunned by it. So were there other children your age?
I actually don't know.
Because you had private lessons?
I had private lessons, yeah. Always private lessons. And then there was something called a playing class, which was where students performed for each other in a recital.
Also when you were seven or eight?
When I was seven.
Seven.
Yeah.
So did you notice that there were other kids there your age, or you don't remember?
I was totally unaware.
No, you were completely focused,
too young.
Right? I don't think it was about young. I think it was about focus. That you were just interested in what you were doing.
Right.
What it sounds like is that this thing completely captured you.
Right.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So in my fantasy, you're taking lessons and you're practicing most of the time. Is that accurate?
Well, I went to school, too.
Oh, yes, of course.
So, I never practiced that much.
No, you didn't need to.
I guess not.
No, seriously, you didn't need to, right?
I didn't.
Okay, so you're seven, right? And are you thinking, this is what I'm going to do with my life? Or you're not thinking about
that? I'm not thinking about anything at that age. I was just being me and just playing the violin and loving it.
Right.
And I just continue to play and practice and advance.
Yeah. Okay, good. So 7, 8, 9, 10, you're in elementary school.
Yeah.
You're a kid, you're going to school, you're doing your work, and you're taking lessons and you're practicing when you do. Okay, then it's middle school. Are you playing in the band? Are you something?
There's no such thing as a violin in a band.
There's no violin in the band.
It's an orchestra.
That's right. So you're playing in the orchestra. Sorry.
No, there was no orchestra.
There was no orchestra. So you're in school, as far as that goes, you're not playing in school.
No.
You're playing in the playing class.
Right. And just taking lessons.
Right. And taking lessons.
Yeah. And it wasn't until I went to high school that I really began playing.
So
in an orchestra, in a string quartet. I also went to music camp.
Ah.
Beginning when I was 10.
Aside from the work you have to do in school, you
right.
know, study English
right.
and math and whatever
yeah.
you had to study, mm-hmm. this is really where your focus is, your life is, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, so in high school, do they have an orchestra?
Oh, they had many orchestras.
Aha! Okay, good. All right.
because this was the High School of Music and Art.
Oh, of course it was.
And I went in as a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
Junior high school is grades 7, 8, and 9, and I only did grades 7 and 8, and then I auditioned for music and art.
So you're a freshman at music and art.
Right.
And they had lots of orchestras, obviously, right?
Right.
And so you're continuing to study
mm-hmm.
The instrument
mm-hmm.
and whatever else you have to study to get out of high school, right?
Right.
And you're playing in an orchestra?
I played in the senior orchestra.
You played
in
the
senior? And then I became concertmaster in my second semester of my freshman year.
In the second semester of your freshman year, you became concertmaster of the senior orchestra.
Right. And yeah. I was first violinist of the string quartet. The
and you were first violinist.
Quartet, and that was for 4 years, too.
Were you aware at the time that this was unusual?
No. I really wasn't.
Right? I believe you. I think that you were just doing this thing.
I was just having a good time.
Yes, right. Nobody said to you? I mean, sometimes there's jealousy. I mean, there were certainly seniors who might have wanted to be what you were.
There may have been jealousy. If there was jealousy, I was
you
not
didn't
aware
notice,
of it.
Right, you didn't notice. Yeah, it's clear. It's 4 years.
Yeah.
You're a concertmaster, you're a first violinist, and you just get better and better and better. You just work harder and harder and harder, right?
Right, right.
And then high school is ending, you're right. A junior. Are you thinking about what you're going to do when you get out of high school?
I went to City College.
As a music major?
As a history major.
As a history major. Why?
Because I loved history.
And you didn't need to major in music.
I was in the music department all the time. In fact, I was in the department so much they thought I was a music major.
I'm sure they did.
And it wasn't until I graduated that they realized I wasn't.
But all available time was spent in the music department.
Right.
So you were playing there as well in something.
I was assistant concertmaster of the orchestra. Felix Gallimere was the concertmaster.
I see. Okay, good.
Do you know his name?
I don't, but I can see it on your face that this is a very special thing.
Gallimere was a phenomenal violinist.
Yeah.
Professional, obviously. And actually, most of the faculty in the music department were refugees from the Nazis.
Yes, of course. Right.
So it was a very high-class music department.
No kidding. So yeah. For you to be assistant concertmaster to such a prestigious concertmaster was a very big deal.
Yeah, it was.
Did you know that?
Oh, sure.
Okay, good.
By that time, I was a little more conscious of of life mm-hmm. than I was at 7.
You know? Well... So, when you're going to graduate from college,
right.
Are you thinking about what you're going to do?
Well, I had to make a decision finally. Whether I would go to graduate school in history or music.
Oh.
And I had an A average in history.
I'm sure.
So my advisor, who I had taken several courses in history with... told me to apply to Harvard. And
In history.
And I got a performance award in the music department, which is when they found out I wasn't a music major.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I just said, okay, I've got to make a decision. And I decided that I had to continue with the violin.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was right then.
The passion for history... Was it like the passion for violin?
It's different. I loved it, obviously, and I was very much caught up in it. And
did you have a special time that you were interested in?
European history. Basically, 18th, 19th, 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like the violin. I mean, they're two separate things. One was intellectual. The violin was here.
Yeah.
It was emotional.
Yes.
And I just simply had to make a decision. So That's so you went with your heart. Yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah, right. All right. So you go to graduate school.
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
I ended up going to the Yale School of Music.
Mm-hmm.
Manhattan offered me a full scholarship to get my master's in a year. I was very tempted to do that. But Yale had a violin teacher called Brodus Earl, who ever heard of. Brodus Earl, mm-hmm. E-R-L-E. And he had been the first violinist of the New Music String Quartet.
Mm.
So he was very much a contemporary or 20th century violinist. And I took the train to New Haven, played for him. And at the last minute, I decided to go to Yale.
Again, this is the heart leading, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Because the other thing had advantages that were, again, intellectual. They would have made good sense.
Yeah,
but right. That's not what you chose.
But I chose to leave New York.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah. Well, it's not that far in New Haven.
I mean, it was for me.
Oh, was it? Oh, really?
It was for me.
Because of your family?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
I led a very close, secluded kind of life.
Okay, so you're at Yale.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to the fact that you're continuing to study and you're going to get an advanced degree, are you thinking about what kind of career you want or what you might be doing when you get out?
No, not really. Mm-hmm. Again, I was so involved in, first of all, playing the violin, which was, when I was at Yale, it was a huge step up in terms of what I needed to do, how I needed to practice. It was like baby steps at Manhattan, and then Yale was a different world.
Really?
Much harder. Oh, yes.
Did you know going in, or you were surprised?
Well, I knew going in, but you never know in advance what's in store for you.
Right.
But,
well, you also don't know how you're going to feel about it.
No, you don't think about things like that. You just do it. At least that was me. I just did it. And I had nobody really to tell me anything.
Right.
Or to advise me. So I just went. And I ended up learning, Paganini and Bartok and Alban Berg and all these really advanced pieces and playing in string quartets and chamber music, coaching with outstanding chamber music coaches, Robert Bloom on the oboe, Aldo Paraso was a cellist who coached as well, and playing in the orchestra. And I got my master's in 2 years.
Okay, so you have your master's.
I have my master's.
And now what?
Well, this is an unlikely story.
Okay. Yeah.
I had, when I was a kid, gone to Yiddish school.
Mm-hmm.
And I graduated. So I was fluent in Yiddish.
Mm.
I knew Hebrew as well, and I had always wanted to go to Israel.
Yeah.
And at the point when I got my master's, I decided I wanted to go to Israel. And the Israel Philharmonic Orchestra had an opening.
Wow.
And I auditioned and I got in.
Wow.
So,
I mean, I'm thinking, New Haven was a stretch. Yeah, wow. So you went.
So I went.
How long were you there?
2 years.
2 years. How was it?
Phenomenal.
Yeah?
Yeah. We played under incredible conductors. Zubin Mehta was the main conductor.
Mm.
And we played a lot under Leonard Bernstein, Claudio Abbado, James Levine, all kinds of great conductors. I had a string quartet.
Ah, yes. Oh, of your own.
Of my own, yeah.
Yeah.
I always played quartets.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a lot of friends there. But I had to make another decision, and Yale contacted me and said, we're going to offer a doctorate for the first time.
Wow.
In performance. Are you interested? So I said, sure.
Of course.
So I went back to Yale, and that's where I met Mark.
Well, that was good.
and he can tell you how we met.
Okay.
We actually met playing a wedding gig.
Oh, very cute.
Isn't that cute?
Yes, that's very cute.
And I spent a year, and I got what is called a Master of Musical Arts, and then the requirement was that you go out for 7 years and make a career. And then if you qualify, you get to give a recital, and they call in somebody, you know, from outside to judge. And if that goes well, then you get your doctorate.
Good grief. It's 7 years?
Yes.
So this made the decision for you about career or not career, because in order to get the doctorate, you had to do the career.
Right. You had to just play lots of concerts and then come back and play your doctoral recital.
So did you have to make a living doing that?
Sure.
Did they tell you how?
No.
So how did it go?
Well, it went fine. I'm an orchestral musician.
Right.
So I was always able to make a living in orchestras.
Right. And orchestras always wanted you.
That's right.
Right.
And I also played with Mark. We forged a career as a duo. Oh, yeah.
Oh, lovely.
And that's also when I met him, is when I started playing Baroque violin.
Baroque violin as opposed to...
Modern violin.
Modern, yes.
So the Baroque violin is basically the same as a modern violin, except it's not. It's got, if you play on an original instrument, it has a, inside it has a thinner sound post, a thinner bass bar, the neck goes straighter out of, don't have as many notes to play, and the bows are totally different.
So it's not just that you're playing Baroque music, you're playing a whole new instrument.
Right.
So did you need to take lessons?
No.
No?
No. I mean, you need to basically get it in your ear. I worked with Mark a great deal. We basically made a career. We went all over Europe, United States, the Middle East.
Okay, so you did your 7 years, and then you went back to Yale and said, here I am, and you did your recital.
Right.
And somebody from outside the university said, she can have it.
Right.
Right? And so you became a doctor of...
Musical arts. It's called
musical
a DMA.
Arts.
And that is what allows you to get university positions.
Yes.
Because in those days, you all only needed a master. Now you need a doctor.
So have you taught?
Uh-huh. Actually, I taught for about 20 years at Boston University.
Oh.
Department of Historical Performance, but also the modern... violin, because Joseph Silverstein actually brought me in to share a class with him. He was playing modern and Baroque, teaching modern and Baroque.
Did you like teaching?
I loved it. Because you get to pass on all your knowledge to young people.
Yeah.
It's a great interaction. It also makes you a better musician. Then I got an appointment at College of the Holy Cross. I don't actually know how I got that. It was a long time ago.
But you're still there.
I am. So what happened is that for a while I was teaching at both Holy Cross and Boston University, and I just couldn't do both at once. They were two full-time positions. I stayed at Holy Cross because they offered tenure, and Boston University did not. I've been there for 34 years.
How long?
34.
34 years?
Yeah.
My goodness. And you're running back and forth. That's why you're going to... That's where you're going when you're going, is that right?
That's one of the places.
Where else are you going?
Oh, well, you know, when we play concerts, we do concerts in Sarasota,
right.
Of course, but we also play in other places in New England. We still play in Europe, occasionally South America.
Wow, but, right.
You know, it's slowed down somewhat.
So I only have one other question.
Okay.
Having given a life to the work of playing the violin, what would you say about what that's like, what that's meant to you, what you would say about it?
I would have to say it's my life.
Yes.
I can't think of having done anything else.
Yeah. And that is a perfect place to stop.
Okay.
Thank you so much,
Carol.
Thank
you.
That's lovely. The violin is my life. I can't think of having done anything else. When someone says this about the way they spend their life, then you know you are listening to a person who is exactly who she is. And it is my hope that when you listen to Carol, you are inspired to ask, is this how I feel about my life? Is this how I feel about the way I spend my life? Am I the person I was meant to be, and I know it in my very bones? Well, if that's not true and you want to talk to me about that, you can find me at my website, thelinshow.com. As always, I hope that you got something you can use from this show as something that inspired you, something that will bring you back, because I will be back. And as always, I sure hope you will be too. And we're going to go out on just a little taste of Carol Lieberman playing the instrument she loves.
I'm getting older, my hair is turning gray. Oh, you say my face and figure have both seen better days. Well, I won't be retiring, I won't slip out of sight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. Singing, not a tune that I once sang. I just keep returning like some goddamn boomerang. No, I won't go with a whimper, I am going with a bang. You see that I have had my shot. My time has come and gone. Oh, won't I please get off the stage, let someone else get on. Well, I won't be relegated or leave without a fight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper, I am going with a bang. Life's a bell I keep on ringing, not a chime that I once rang. You may think it's unseemly, well, I don't give a dang. No, I won't go with a whimper, I am going with a bang. Rising from the ashes, I may be running out of time, but it ain't over yet. 'Cause me and Sister Phoenix, we won't give up the flight. No, no, we will not go gentle into that good night. And I won't go with a whimper, I'm going with a bang. Singing, not a tune that I once sang. I may not be as juicy, hell, but I still got some tang. So you won't hear me simper, I may have gotten limper, but I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang.